Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Form and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
How can you make your life story your unfair advantage? Joining us to elaborate on that is our special guest, Damon Brown. He's the co-founder of Cuddler. Damon, it's great to have you, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you have truly an incredible life story. You were a stay-at-home dad who in 11 months built the Cuddler app and exited successfully for an undisclosed, very, very healthy, wealthy amount. But we'll leave it at that. So your story has truly become, I think, your unfair advantage. How can others turn their life story into their unfair advantage?
Totally. I think the first thing is to accept that your story is your unique path. If you're having a difficult time, it helps to look at it as a step along the journey of your redemption.
Okay.
So, for instance, as you mentioned, I was a stay-at-home dad, still am, but was a stay-at-home dad with a baby when we started Cuddler, myself and my two co-founders. Two of us were very active. And it was me, you know, getting my son to sleep along with my wife and then getting up at 3:15 in the morning and working from there until sunrise. And that's usually when he would wake up around 6.
Wow.
And we would do Skype calls in between there because my co-founders were overseas. And it was just a nutty 11 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty long time to think about that.
Yeah.
But to actually see the finish line and to say, I'm going to make something that's worthwhile, imagine me, the pride that I'll be able to share with my son to say, hey, back when you were born, this is what I did. You can do the same thing.
Yeah.
As well as thinking about the users themselves for Cuddler and saying, what would they want of me? And we have a responsibility. Again, my background is journalism.
19 years. You're the man at it.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, what's the responsibility to the public? And that responsibility went even higher when I became a co-founder, particularly a co-founder of an app this size. That was a new experience for me. So I think it's a matter of looking at it at the finish line, saying, how will this experience make me stronger? How will this differentiate me? Again, the efficiency that I had, I went from a 60-hour work week to, after my son was born, a 15-hour work week. And I did 2 TED Talks, 2 startups. I did the beginning of my my smaller startup, So Quotable. And then shortly after that, the summer after, that's when Cuddler started. And then as soon as it came out, within a week, it went to number 1 on the App Store.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing. And we weren't expecting that. Even me, you know, for my high hopes. And so being able to say, I can create all these things and do all these things within a 15-hour work week is incredible. And that's one of the things I talk about in The Bite-Sized Entrepreneur, my book, is that you can do those things. It's a matter of having your priorities right. You can do anything. Just you have to make sure that your mind's straight.
Your life story is truly your unfair advantage. Only when you decide to give it the meaning that's going to change your life.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of context.
So context
whatever happens,
is everything.
You have to create context.
And most people let the circumstance define it. Like, oh, you spilled wine on the new carpet. Is that good or bad? Instantly, most people's knee-jerk reaction would be, that's bad.
Right.
Why? It doesn't need to be. It's relative. You get to choose.
I agree 100%. And that goes back to what we talk about now with emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence is not only reacting to other people in an intelligent way that keeps in mind their sensitivities and their ideas, but also whatever happens to you, putting into context.
Yeah.
So I gave the recent example of someone getting into a car accident, and they could say, oh, I have the worst luck in the world, and then that frames their whole world. And so suddenly something bad happens again, and they're like, yeah, like I said,
I got into it, I have bad luck.
As opposed to saying, well, I need a new car anyway, I should have been paying attention, I'll try to get more sleep because I need to go and take care of myself. Yeah. And suddenly that becomes a positive life event. I think what's beautiful about having challenging things happen, I think to use your term, something that's unfair, is that that's immediately relatable. And so when I talk to entrepreneurs and they say they're having a rough time, you know, it's not a matter of me saying, well, my time was rougher, because it's not about that. It's more about me saying, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to work on 3 hours sleep and, you know, you have a startup that's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I know what that feels like. Mm. And so it makes you relatable, too. We kind of ask for $1 million or whatever our big number is, billion dollars. We ask for all the time in the world. We ask for perfect relationships. We ask for all this stuff. But if that stuff happened, then we wouldn't really be human. Mm-hmm. Right? Those things that happen, those rough times, those things we're talking about right now, those are based on challenges that happened. And at the time, you can go and say, this sucks. And sometimes it does. But what you actually get out of it, that's what the strength is. And you're not going to find strength by being lazy or being complacent or just having everything be easy.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. If we talk about the times that we learn the most in our life, it's the most difficult times. It's not when things are easy.
Yeah.
So we should cherish those times.
So we're talking about how to turn your life story into your unfair advantage. And I keep highlighting Oprah because I think she's truly one of the perfect examples. And so, you know, if anyone out there thinks they're having a tough time, everything is relative. And you look at somebody like an Oprah who literally says, I wouldn't be the Oprah that I am today. The self-made billionaire woman who's crushed it in every regard as a thought leader in all these philanthropy ways, if it wasn't for those terrible things that happened to her as a child and as a teenager. And so literally, if you give yourself the gift of turning your life story into something that's meaningful, something that's going to strengthen you regardless of what happened to you, I think that's how you create your unfair advantage. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of realizing that you're going through a particular thing for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, that's might rely on faith and other things. And people say that a lot, where it's just like, oh, we just have to believe it's something bigger. I don't think it's even a religious faith type of thing. I think it's just realizing that your story is not over. Now, I have that advantage because my background is storytelling. So, and I'm a big fan of Joseph Campbell with, like, you know, the hero of a thousand faces, you know, and the hero cycle. And there's this zenith point where everything seems lost. You know, the hero is in the cavern and he lost the map and, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. He's out of food. Things are completely dark. It looks like all hope is lost. Right there, as they say, is the proverbial treasure.
Yeah.
Because that's number one, where you find out what you're made of. You can't find out where you're made of on the sidelines. Not possible.
You got to get in the ring.
Not possible. You got to get in the game.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, you have something to give back to everyone else. So the treasure is not just for you. And I talk about that in the book. Mm. The treasure is actually for other people. And so the ability to go ahead and say, I went through this experience. I was a stay-at-home dad with a baby and a wonderful wife. So I need to add that as well.
Yeah.
But stay-at-home dad with a baby and being the primary caretaker while my wife did a traditional job. And I had this startup that did really, really well and exited in 11 months.
Wow.
So whatever challenges that you might be having, I respect that. Again, not better, not worse, but I respect it. So when you say you haven't slept in a day, when you say you're having challenges at home because of stuff with your startup, when you say you're trying to juggle two startups, you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I get it.
What is something in your book, right, The 21 Ways, that one?
Yeah.
What is something in that book that you think would be a lesson on this context of turning your life story into an unfair advantage?
Totally. One big thing I talk about is I have a chapter called Embrace Limitations. And the idea is that the less that you have, the more creative you're going to be.
Okay.
One good example, which is not in the book, but it's kind of like Oprah, it's one of my favorite examples, is the Wright brothers over in Ohio. And when they were doing their planes, they were competing against some of the bigger guys who had all this equipment, all this technology. Their planes ended up being too heavy. They couldn't get off the ground. Humans were not meant to fly, et cetera, et cetera. The Wright brothers were actually using scrap pieces of car and you know, what, all these crazy parts,
yeah.
You know, totally put together with the equivalent of masking tape, put all this stuff together and created something that they were able to fly down to North Carolina. And one of the things I love about that is that it's really about the ingenuity. And the ingenuity does not come with unlimited access. It doesn't come with unlimited funds. It doesn't come with unlimited time. My productivity after I became a parent skyrocketed.
I'm
a pretty productive guy.
Yeah.
And again, 60 hours to 15 hours, and suddenly I have two startups. I'm doing TED Talks. It's totally nutty. I can't see that as a coincidence. And so when those limitations came in and there was a child that was saying, I need you, you know, 16 hours a day,
yeah.
You have 3 hours to get your work done, 5 hours to sleep, if that, then when that happened, suddenly I became a lot more efficient. And that, I think that's why we really have to embrace when we have a limitation to run with it. It's okay. You're going to come up with a creative solution if you really want it.
Damon, appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com. Cooper Harris is a violinist, an actress, and the founder and CEO of Clickly, who has recently learned how to code. Here are Cooper's biz tips for startups.
Three things I would think about. Product market fit, finding that very quickly and in a very lean way. Read Eric Ries's startup. The second one would be team. So, so, so important. My team is like the backbone of what we're doing. I happen to be a solo female founder. I had to very, very quickly supplement myself with great people. Third thing would just be fundraising. Know if you need to fundraise, know what type of investors you will fundraise from. I learned this the first go round. Floundering around without real capital for a long time is just no good.
Is credit card debt ruining your life? Now you can have a large portion of your credit card debt forgiven. Get Relief Today wants to give you free information that shows you how. This program is proven to work for credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt. We'll give you the secret to this money-saving program absolutely free. 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558.
Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. Try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, get 2 free gifts and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. Get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now, 800-281-8770. 800-281-8770.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI. Because not everybody experiences EPI the same way. Which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable. So don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Felina Hansen. You're the founder of Hera Hub. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
So Hera Hub, what the heck is that?
Yes, it's a co-working space for female entrepreneurs. We're based here in Southern California, and we're expanding nationally. We just opened on the East Coast in Washington, D.C.
So I've got to ask, how did you come up with the name Hera Hub?
Yes. So Hera, or Hira, if you're in Greece, is the Greek goddess of women, and it's a co-working space focused on supporting women as they launch and grow their business.
Okay, and how long have you been doing this business?
5 years.
Okay, and what inspired you to want to get into creating the co-working space?
Yeah, so this trend around co-working spaces or shared workspaces has grown out of the tech segment over about the last 10 years, and there's a lot of really cool incubators for tech startups. But the market that I was a part of when I had a marketing strategy company prior to this was not quite fitting into that cool, super, you know, young, techie community in all cases. So I built a co-working space that we call Spa Inspired. It's a beautiful space. The focus is on community and collaboration. And again, giving women, whether they're taking their first steps into their business or they're trying to get to that next level, the support and resources to do that.
So what is inspiring you to specifically want to work with women outside of course, being a woman yourself?
So women are starting businesses twice as fast as men right now. And primarily women are starting businesses sometimes in different ways than men
are. Meaning they're just starting a business or their business is being successful twice as often?
Well, no, just starting. So at this rate double the amount of businesses are being started by women during this time period.
It takes twice as many men based on what you're saying.
Something like that, exactly. Okay. But typically, so 90% of female-owned businesses don't have any employees. They're solopreneurs, as we would call them, or freelancers, consultants. And so the services that they're looking for are sometimes different, and the environment they're looking for is also sometimes different. And so the spaces we create are a little different, and the focus on community and collaboration is really at the forefront of this.
Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? Take us back to the
beginning of your journey.
Yeah.
So my first entrepreneurial path came through my father. My dad's an entrepreneur. My mom's an artpreneur. And it wasn't the lemonade stand. It was selling peacock feathers. When I was 8 years old, we had peacocks in San Luis Obispo County here in California. And I took a resource in my own backyard, walked down to the store, and sold them for $1 a piece. So that was my first taste.
Peacock feathers.
Peacock feathers, yes. A little unusual. So first entrepreneurial venture, I made $80 at age 8, which at that time was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And even now at age 8, that's a lot of money. Yeah. So that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And growing up in my dad's business really gave me the drive towards business. So I studied business in college. I, in my 20s, worked for mostly startups, got laid off 3 times by the age of 30. 2 companies sold, 1 ran out of money. And it was like, gosh darn it, I need to control my own destiny. So I started a marketing strategy business at age 30.
Okay, wonderful. And so your business that you started, how did that go? That was your first business?
That was my first business.
Okay, a lot of people's first businesses, you know, they fall flat on their face. Did that happen
true,
to you?
True, very true. So backing up a tiny bit, I helped my husband, now ex-husband, start a surf apparel business right here in Los Angeles. And that fell flat on its face. So I had that under my belt at least. So
I got your
technically,
first
yes, exactly. So my company Perspective Marketing was mostly a service-based business, not a lot of risk. And I find a lot of female entrepreneurs in particular start more consultancy-type businesses because, again, there's not a lot of risk of failure. It's pretty easy to start and get going. And a lot of those folks are building businesses out of their home. And that's what I did for 8 years and really just found it to be isolating, hard to focus, and miss that sense of community. So that's what led me to build Hera Hub.
I love that. What do you think from your perspective, having gone kind of pretty far on your journey so far in the entrepreneur space, what do you think is the hardest part about being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's that isolation piece. It's not being confident, I think, in some cases, some of the women that we work with and making decisions and wanting to feel that support and community around them. And so when you go from a corporate environment where you have so much structure around you to your spare bedroom talking to your cat, trying to make a decision about business, it's challenging. And so that community piece comes through so strongly, and that's the reason what we do.
So you obviously work a lot more with women. As you said, Hera Hub, your business is, you know, an incubator space and a place people can rent out offices. So you're around a lot more women. Is there a big difference between, or what are the differences between women entrepreneurs and male entrepreneurs?
Yeah, there's a number of differences. There's a number of differences in regards to sometimes how we make decisions and how we look to get information. And I think women inherently are not as strong at the risk-taking side of the business, and so they're looking for more information to make a calculated move towards something different. Women are natural connectors and community builders, and so, again, providing them that opportunity. We do have men in our community as well. We say we're female-focused. But giving women that opportunity to be in that safe, supportive setting to be able to say, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I need help. It just creates a slightly different environment.
So you said women are natural connectors and a little bit more, you elaborated on that. But my question is, if 90% of women are solopreneurs, they work by themselves, why do you think that is?
Because, again, a lot of times that risk-taking,
Do you think it's a risk to build a team and bring people
in? It is. I mean, I talk to a lot of women that are lamenting that first decision to bring on their first employee. That's a big decision. Mm. You're now responsible for somebody else and their livelihood. And so for a lot of women, it depends on the stage of life they're at. They may have children at home, and they still have a lot of obligations there. Women tend to be the primary caregivers even still in a lot of situations, although we're getting close to hopefully finalizing a deal in Stockholm, Sweden for a licensing deal, and there the roles are almost reversed. It's very equal, so to speak. But here in the U.S., women are still primarily taking charge of their family, and they have a lot to balance. So taking that step to hire somebody full-time is a big deal for them. And so being able to find the support and community through contractors or freelancers gives them an opportunity to grow without having that responsibility.
Take me back to a place in your journey and your story. And I think we've all had one, or we're inevitably going to have one at some point on our journey. But take me back to a place where you had maybe one of your deep, dark times. Maybe it was a really big failure and mistake, or just a tough time in your personal life.
Yeah, for me, I was lucky because that came at a very early age, and it was personal. So at age 22, I got hit by a fire truck in an intersection in San Diego, and I broke 27 bones in my arms, legs, and face. I have titanium everywhere. I'm almost a robot.
Wow, so you're invincible.
Invincible, exactly. I was in the hospital for over a month. I was in a wheelchair for several months. It really, at such a young age, just gave me a tremendous amount of perspective on life and what I'm here to do.
What was one of the hardest parts about bouncing back from that?
Choosing the perspective and choosing to be able to look at it as a blessing, to be honest. And going through 3 layoffs by the age of 30 and going through a divorce at age 30 and all of these things coming together, the word I use is reinvention. And as an entrepreneur, you're almost constantly having to reinvent yourself. The fancy word now is pivot, of course. But that's really part of the reason I wrote my book, Flight Club, is because I wanted to tell that story of rebellion and reinvention and the fact that those things can be gifts that give you that perseverance to stick through the tough times as an entrepreneur.
I love that. Felina Hansen, you are amazing. You're an inspiration to so many entrepreneurs and just people in general out there. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Can living a longer, healthier life be as easy as popping a handful of nuts in your mouth? I'm Dr. Borenstein, and this is Dr. Beyond Call. It's true. Eating just three small handfuls a week of nuts, including peanuts, may help you live longer. Those who engage in moderate nut consumption have a lower risk of premature death from heart disease and other causes. People who ate the most nuts reduced risk by 20% as opposed to those eating fewer nuts. Teens who eat nuts regularly have less than half the risk for developing metabolic syndrome, which heightens onset of early heart disease and type 2 diabetes. The benefits of adding nuts to your diet may be tracked back.
Staples knows that when your old reliable laptop is more old than reliable, it's time. When regular mail is faster than email, it's time. When you can open only one application at a time, and it's the calculator, it's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has the latest tech at great prices, and now save up to $200 on new Dell laptops with Intel 7th generation processors. Staples, it's pro time. N6317 while supplies last.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Attention Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Felina Hansen. You're the founder of Hera Hub, which is basically an incubator and a business space where you guys not only help fund people, but you also give them office space. You're also the author of Flight Club, a book that's basically about how to launch your dream business. Yeah. More on that in a little bit. For now, I want to know, what is it like? Somebody comes in your office, they're in some office space, and you guys even have an opportunity to provide them funding if they need it?
Yeah, so we have a business accelerator program called Hera Labs and a funding arm called Hera Angels. And that's spearheaded by a woman by the name of Dr. Sylvia Ma. And her background is in the world of science, molecular biology, technology transfer. She is a rock star herself. She's amazing. And she really helps women both at the early stage of ideation and also growth stage through 12-week accelerator programs. She's also an angel investor. And so she was my angel investor in Hera Hub and helping us get to that point where we could license the business model, create something we could duplicate. And she also is teaching other women how to become angel investors. Right now, under 20% of folks in the angel world are women. And in the VC world, it's closer to about 4%. So we're trying to inspire more women to invest in female founders.
So obviously, you guys have figured out the secret sauce to scaling, at least in your business industry.
Yes.
So what is that? What is allowing you guys to be able to scale what's not easy to do? You have, you know, an incubator, an accelerator, and basically you're renting out real estate where people can come in and they can get office space.
Yeah.
So some people have that one thing. You guys are adding multiple facets into that same business model, and then you're scaling it. So what's making you guys successful? How do you scale that?
It's really very much understanding our customer. We're constantly listening to our members. Here in Southern California, we have close to 400 female entrepreneurs in our community, and we're just listening all the time. What do they need to support their growth, their expansion, their idea? How do they get it to market? And so we just consistently keep adding programming and resources for our customers.
So what's been the key to the scaling? Obviously, listening to customers helps, yep. But you could listen to the customers, but have no idea how to grow the business from what the customers are telling you. So what has been the business side of the thing that's allowing you to be able to grow?
It's marketing and operations. So I'm a marketing girl. That comes natural to me. But from day one in building this business, much different than my prior business, it was really paying attention to the details of the operations, creating systems and models that could be replicated. That's why I built 3 locations in the first 2 years of business, because I wanted to build it and break it and do it over again so I could make sure I had the right formula so someone else could go implement that through a license model.
How do you pick where to get the location? Because I feel like that's probably got a lot to do with it.
It does, absolutely.
Where you pick your location.
Yep.
And so how do you guys go about picking the right locations for what your business is all about?
Yeah, so we look at cities that are sizable, at least to 500,000, and then we look at particular real estate options within that city based on our demographics. So we're not the cool, hip, downtown tech space, co-working space. We typically are closer to where our members live, kind of on the edge of the city, so to speak, and we look for particular space. There's a lot that goes into that. You're absolutely right.
What's the hardest part about having a business model that's licensed out and a model where you're now starting to expand? You're going to have 5 locations, and then you're already talking about going international with this. What's the hardest part about scaling out this type of a business?
Culture. It is more challenging than I would have imagined. So you can create all the systems and processes that are bulletproof, but getting that cultural piece right, the professionalism we bring, but also the business model is fun. And so how do you infuse fun into a business and almost, I hate to use the word mandate it, but, you know, create that opportunity for, actually it was our Swedish licensing candidate that said it best. She called it joyful professionalism. So that's really very intangible. And how do you convey that to somebody all the way across the United States or even potentially across the world?
So I think you just asked the question and I'm going to flip it back on you to answer.
Sure.
How do you create the consistency in the great company culture across as you're scaling?
Yeah, modeling it the best that we can and just being part of those conversations.
Systematizing it as well.
Yeah, but demonstrating it really and just being continued. I was just out in Washington, D.C. last week working with our licensee out there, being a part of that community.
Felina Hansen is my guest. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Let's talk about your book real quick.
Perfect.
Flight Club. It's basically about, as it says here, how to launch your dream business. Tell me a little bit more about the book. What happens? I read this. What do I walk away with?
So the book was written for a woman who aspires to be an entrepreneur. She probably hasn't taken that step yet. She's thinking about, as we call it, leaning out, and wants to start a business but might be afraid. So the first part of the book is a bit of my story and journey as an entrepreneur, the ups, the downs, the reinvention. It's other women who have contributed their thoughts and ideas and exercises to help that woman decide what's the dream business that they will launch. And then the third part of the book is an online platform that I built called Steps to Startup. I've met over 1,000 entrepreneurs over the last 5 years who get into launching a business and they haven't done some of the critical pieces of getting the foundation right. And that's what's detailed in the book.
Give me something from the book that if I were to have read the whole thing would be the most shocking to learn about you.
Shocking. You know, I think it really
could
comes
be the most
down,
impressive thing,
well,
most shocking.
It comes down to that reinvention piece. I really, really believe that. I'm pretty candid in the book about what's happened in my life through divorce and all kinds of different things, only to make the point, and you made the point earlier, we've all been through something in our lives. We've all been beaten up, punched in the face, so to speak. It's how you recover from that and what you do with that information that defines who you are.
What's one of your favorite stories? You said other people have contributed to content. So out of this book, I know that it's hard for you to probably pick any of them because I'm sure you spent so many, you know, sleepless nights being very clear about which ones were going to qualify for the book. So I'm sure they're all your favorite in their own way. But if you had to pick one, share one with us.
Yeah, one of the contributors is a woman named Linda O'Keefe, and she writes a segment. She has a psychology background, and she writes a segment about mindset. And that is such a critical factor as an entrepreneur. It really, a lot of times, is about mindset. You can have the best idea in the world, but if your head's not in the right place, you're not going to succeed. And so that's a big piece of the book, is really how do you position yourself, and not only around your community, but get your head in the game, knowing that it's going to be tough and you're going to have to pick yourself up and keep going.
It reminds me of the old statistic, which is 80% of success is psychology, 20% is the mechanics or the strategies and the tactics and the how-to.
Yeah.
And so you obviously align with that, as do I. Psychology and mindset is definitely what trumps the strategies and the mechanics and the resources, anything like that. So I'm curious from you, you know, obviously you shared one of your stories already with us, you know, from a place where you had, you know, that deep place in your life where you were hit with a fire truck, for a lack of any better way to explain it than that. So I'm curious, what are some tips that you have for people when it comes to the mind? You've obviously had an experience where you were able to triumph and overcome that and now move on to bigger, greater, successful things rather than playing the story of being a victim. And so what are some tricks that you have for the mindset part of things? Because at the end of the day, it is kind of like mind hacks, mind tricks, whatever you want to call it. What are some tips you have?
Yeah, so vision is a big piece of it, and being extremely clear. Again, 20,000 women by 2020.
So creating a vision or
creating
visualizing
a vision?
Things?
Both. Good point. Yeah, absolutely. So creating a vision that you can see and that's tangible, that's visual to you, and what the success and what that outcome looks like. But what I call it is, you know, your mission or your vision statement, but I call it a mantra. Knowing exactly what you're doing. I meet a lot of entrepreneurs that are kind of going like this, and they don't really know what the end point is. And so really clearly articulating exactly what you're going to do and then figuring out how to get there. The other piece of it as well is really that determination piece. Again, you're going to get beat up as an entrepreneur. And I see a lot of people, they get to the 11th hour and they give up and they pull out. Or even worse, I see a lot of entrepreneurs with what I call shiny object syndrome, where they get into business and then they see something shiny over here and over here, and they start to try to go in too many directions at the same time.
This thing that they've been working on for 6 months or a year or 3 years hasn't succeeded or worked out or paid off the way they thought it would. And as a result, they hear about a new opportunity or a new trend or a new thing, and they want to leave what they've already compounded so much time and energy and money on to go over the new shiny thing.
Exactly. Every 6 months, I see folks do it all the time. And it's pervasive in the culture, right? It's get rich quick, it's take a pill and get skinny kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, or create an app and sell it for $1 billion in a year.
Yes, of course. Everyone's trying to be that next business. But business is difficult, and you have to know going into it that you have to expect the unexpected. Things are going to come up daily. You are going to get beat up. And I say to a lot of people, if you're not ready for that, then maybe entrepreneurship isn't the path for you, to be honest.
And so I think that's right on the point, and that's perfect. I think entrepreneurship is not right for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But so we've got a bunch of aspiring entrepreneurs with us right now, and they're wondering, when is it right for me?
Yeah.
I have a 9-to-5 job. It's what pays my bills, but I'm just really not fulfilled or happy or passionate. and I've got this vision for what could be, mm-hmm. but I just either don't have the mindset, the resources, the confidence, the connections, whatever it is, whatever their limiting beliefs or excuses or rationale they're telling themselves is, what's our advice for them? How do they cut the cord from their 9-to-5 job, their only source of income that pays their bills, maybe even supports their family? How do they cut the cord? When do they know is the right time to make that leap and to start their business or turn their idea into a business?
Yep. So one thing we always recommend is side launching. Launch a business while you still have your day job.
Smart. Don't just cut the cord.
Exactly. Obviously, save up money. That's a no-brainer. But I do see a lot of entrepreneurs that leap, and I'm a big fan of leaping, taking flight, whatever.
Build the plane on the way down.
Exactly, as you fly it. But really, truly, launch that business, take a year, however long you need to take. There are 24 hours in a day. I understand we have a lot of commitments, but really do your best to build a foundation before you take that leap and find community, find other people who are doing it. The biggest mistake I see entrepreneurs make is they'll come to me or somebody in my community and say, I have an idea, but I don't want to say it because I'm afraid somebody's going to steal my idea. People are too busy to steal your idea.
I love when I hear that.
Right? Exactly.
Felina Hansen, author of Flight Club. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Likewise. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. One, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. Two, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. Three, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more, to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my Real Brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
This is A Healthier You, and I'm Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Should patients be worried about their doctors? Unfortunately, the answer is yes. American doctors face growing constraints on their ability to provide the best treatments possible to their patients. Reams of paperwork and onerous restrictions on what they can prescribe are diverting their attention from what they do best, delivering quality health care to patients. This development is approaching a crisis level in the view of many physicians. Some doctors are already speaking out on the pressures that insurers and others are placing on the medical profession, but the public and even many policymakers are not aware of how bad the situation is. Patients need to tell policymakers that they want to see the doctor-patient relationship kept at the center of American medicine. It is in the interest of all of us to let doctors be doctors. For more details, check out Facebook, Better Healthcare Policy.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129. Rockstar.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. This is the CEO Roundtable segment. Joining me are two rockstar CEOs. Who are you and what do you do? Give us your elevator pitch.
I'm Colleen Costello, president and co-founder of a company called Vital Vio. We're a healthcare company based in New York that focuses on at-risk indoor environments utilizing white light LED disinfection. So we're able to actually safely and continuously disinfect environmental surfaces in places like hospitals, athletic facilities, pharmaceutical manufacturing, anywhere that there's a potential risk for transmission of dangerous germs.
Wow. Interesting. I'm excited to dive into more about what you do.
I'm Jason Nazar, and the co-founder and CEO of Comparably. It's a new website that helps people see how much they should be getting paid and lets them publicly rate their companies.
What excites you most about your guys' businesses? You know, sometimes I speak with CEOs, and I may ask them that question, and they're just not really passionate about what they do anymore. I can tell both of you are, or you want to be doing what you're doing. And so what inspires you and excites you most about what you're up to these days?
Myself, I got started in this business when my grandmother actually contracted a MRSA infection in a hospital and noticed at the time that it is the number one patient killer is people, you know, go into a hospital and end up worse off than they were when they entered. So what inspires and excites me is the ability to have a new method to try to address a really dangerous problem that really we have very limited tools right now in our arsenal to address. So every time we get to talk to a customer, it's exciting to be able to offer them a solution to something they're struggling with.
I love that. And like most entrepreneurs, you started this as a result of a need for something that happened in your own life. Mm-hmm. So I love that. What about for you, Jason?
I'm pretty excited about Colleen's business right now. We keep Purell everywhere in the office. It must be 50 bottles of Purell.
Yep. Well, it sounds like you need
one person gets sick, the entire office
is
done.
That's what happens. Oh, no. Yep.
So I want to buy some of those lights.
I'm here. I'm going to do
put
that.
Them on everybody's desk.
We can do that.
Lamp version
we do. We have under cabinet, because actually keyboards and mouses and everything on that entire workspace.
I find as I get older, I'm getting more OCD-ish. Like I like washing my hands more. Is that
because the more you know, the more you know, the more you're going
to
want to wash your hands. I guarantee that.
Save money on the Purell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what excites you, though? You're saying you're excited about her business, which is great, but what excites you about your own business?
Yeah, I get excited about everybody's business. Well, our business is to understand other people's companies, so I think that's why it excites me. You know, we are trying to make workplace compensation culture dramatically more transparent. So, you know, we're building something that hopefully millions of employees and employers in both the U.S. and outside are going to use. And if we can empower employees and you know, force companies to be a little bit more transparent to make them better and make them more rewarding for everybody. That's something I think, you know, we're pretty proud of and excited to do.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, how do you handle stress? And, you know, as a CEO, you're already like, whoo, that's a tough one, right? Yeah. It's like, how do you handle stress? I think regardless, now it's like an epidemic, right? People are like taking pills left and right for stress. People are going on diets to exercise plans to alleviate stress. Stress is like this common theme interwoven throughout everyone's life. Maybe it's not that much in your own life, but I'm sure we all know people who have so much stress. Maybe it's not that they have a lot of stress, but they're just not good at dealing with it. So how do you guys deal with the stress that comes along with the job of being an entrepreneur?
I think that's something I constantly am challenged with, trying to deal with the stress.
Right on your face when I said it.
Yeah. It's a challenging thing, especially I'm on the road a lot, so trying to do things in between everything. I mean, I find exercise, jogging, is a very simple technique for me to relieve stress. But I also think some of the mental components of trying to keep a peripheral vision of, you know, everything that you're working on and trying not to get too stressed out in some of the day-to-day. So constantly kind of taking a backward step and get some perspective and review the progress that you're making so that some of the day-to-day fire is putting out.
Some of the things that we do in our business, and there's a lot, but we invest back in the education of our employees, and we want to make sure that if there's a book, a program, an event, a seminar, a mastermind, a retreat, anything that's going to allow them to become a better version of themselves and acquire or strengthen the current knowledge and skill sets that they have, or acquire new knowledge and skill sets that'll help them get closer to the achievement of the goals of our company, we're going to reinvest back in the education of our employees. And that's something, being a consultant and a coach and a speaker and an author and somebody who comes from what we do is provide education, of course, we're going to preach what we do and we're going to invest back in education for our employees. And we've seen just incredible results as a result of investing in our employees, because if your employees come in and they're just the same people doing the same things for a year, I mean, that may work for some companies. For us, I want every month my employee to be smarter and I want them to be better. And so that's something that we pride ourselves on, is heavily reinvesting in the education of our own employees and our own staff. So let's think about what's a good thing that we could talk about for best practices or tools and gadgets. Do you guys have anything that you want to share in regards to some tools, gadgets, or resources that you use to be more productive, to be more efficient, to unplug, to be more organized, anything like that?
There's a couple things. So in my case, I think email is a huge killer of efficiency. And so I try to check email at certain checkpoints throughout the day and not be beholden to it, you know, for long periods of time. We did an experiment in our office recently. There's a method called the Pomodoro method, which says that, you know, we're really only efficient working in about 20-minute segments. So you work extremely concentrated for 20 minutes, and then you take a 5-minute break. And it was a little overkill. I actually had the entire team work for 10 hours straight in this method. So we'd work for, you know, about a little bit longer, work half an hour, take a break, do a check-in with the entire team. Yeah. And you realize you're unbelievably productive. You know, it's a little taxing at first. But the idea is, and one thing I try to focus a team on, is there's a very small set of things that ever actually make a difference. So one of the things that I have us do for team efficiency is I ask our team at the start of every day, write down on a post-it note the one most important thing you have to get done today. That's probably not a task, something you can get done in 10, 15 minutes. It's going to take a little longer. And odds are, if every day you do the one most important thing and nothing else, we'll still be further ahead than if we just did a whole bunch of stuff to do and you didn't get to that one most important thing.
I love that. It allows you to dissipate and clear off the low-income, trivial activities that oftentimes are easier to get done. And so to feel more productive, we'll put those in front of the one thing we should do.
Yeah, I think of it. Stuff to do. STDs. That's what she's in the business. Like, you're going to kill those with your lights, right?
All right. Yes, Colleen, take us home. This is the wrap here.
Well, I guess I can comment on some of the educational aspects that you're talking about of what we try to do for our team members. So our team's pretty young. Our average age is about 24. So, you know, maybe their first job or their first position out of school. So I try to make sure that everyone gets involved in different aspects of the business and that we try to educate them in a very well-rounded way.
I love that. You guys are both rock stars. This sums up the CEO Roundtable. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced any of the following: pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Hernia mesh patch implants are used for repairing most common types of abdominal hernia, which occurs when muscles or connective tissue in your abdomen are damaged or weakened. If you have had a hernia mesh implant and suffered an injury, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. Call for more information about the recall and a free consultation. Don't be a silent victim. Call 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio.
Thank you.